But on Wednesdays, we started the book over, and I know Stu did a great job. We started Bill's story, and we're going to go through Bill's story on Wednesday night. So if you're new to the program, we're going to be going through the book on Wednesdays, and on Saturdays, we're on step three. We're going to be going through those instructions, and on Sunday night, we're going to look at how you live the principles in the world. So I hope that'll be helpful. Before we begin, I just want to say, ask God to set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially set aside all my old ideas so I can live in your truth. Amen. I thought about today, driving over here. It was 10 years ago on the last Saturday of September that I started this meeting. And it was in the other room there. Isn't that something? 10 years. God only knows how many meetings. And so it's fitting that I think we're going to look at the how and why of our problem and the third step prayer today, which is what it's all about. We're on page 62. I've done several meetings, episodes on the third step. We looked at the what we have to be convinced of, what the first requirement is, what's the root of my trouble, where my troubles arise of, and now we're going to look at the how and why of it. And we did look at the instincts of life and self and what makes up self-centered and why it causes us problems. And that chart, a lot of you have it. So now we're ready to look at this is the how and why of it. They're getting down to the nitty-gritty. Page 62 is there, where they finally tell you what you have to start doing. You have to admit you're an alcoholic. That's an admittance step. You have to admit you can't manage your life anymore. And you have to be willing to believe. But now they're going to ask you to finally just do something, make a decision. And if you haven't been convinced and studied up to page 62 that you need to make this decision, then you're in trouble. Because this is the whole deal. Now, of course, I have to review, so you'll forgive me. But on page 62, at the top of the paragraph, it says, selfish is self-centered. That is the root of my trouble. I really help if it's new, it really helps to read the book in the first person. It's good to read, well, that's their troubles. Yeah, boy, they're in trouble. But it's my trouble. And I was driven by fear, self-delusion, self-sitting, and self-pity. And I made the decisions based on self that caused me to be harmed. Anybody else do that? I think that was one of the greatest gifts of the working the steps was when I came in here, I knew things were bad. I had a vague hint that I may have had something to do with it. You know, it was a vague hint. I didn't want to focus too much on that. But when I worked the steps, I could see how I made the decisions that put all these things in motion that boomeranged against me. And that's good because I don't have to make those decisions anymore. Today, Ed and I were talking about it. We don't have to do that today. And then it says, my troubles are of my own making. Joe and Charlie says that's the greatest promise in the big book because if it's their fault, I can't change them. But it was me. I made my troubles. And you know, where did I make them? Did I watch a movie and make the troubles? Did I read a book and said this is, it was in my mind. I had thoughts that I believed. I said that last week, Stu thought that was good. I believed what I thought and I acted on it. And they rose out of me. And I was an extreme example of self-will run riot. And then Norm's not here and he says, though we usually don't think so. I didn't see it, right? But I can see it today. If I'm having a bad day today, I'm back in the self-will run riot. Now, I don't have to be an extreme example of it anymore. I don't have to let it get that bad. When I just see it rising up, I can work these steps. It says, above everything. Now, above everything is above everything. Now, alcoholics don't like to, they don't understand these complicated terms. But above everything means above everything. There's nothing above it, right, Carrie? Carrie's a lawyer, so you understand the legal term here. Above everything, we must be rid of the selfishness. Now, must is not a, they're not worming out here. Must be rid of it. Rid of it. But here's the problem. I can't do it. I must, or it's going to kill me. My self-centeredness, me thinking about myself all the time, has ruined my life. It can ruin it today. We must, it's going to kill us. And here's the key line. Four words that probably changed the history of our disease. God makes that possible. Before these lines, these four words, we thought we made it possible, right? Or we went to therapists and they helped us make it possible. But it's God that makes it possible. Now, the key, the whole steps is how do I allow God to do that? I mean, God has the power, but I have to allow him to make it possible. And I have to be willing to entirely get rid of self. See, I can't do it without his aid, but I can be willing to do it. If you're not willing to entirely get rid of yourself, how do you know that? Well, today, if you're worrying about something or bothered by something, you're not willing to get rid of that area that you're managing. If anybody have any fear today, if you have any fear today, you're still managing that area. You're not entirely willing to get rid of self. And I had moral and philosophical convictions galore. In fact, I was very proud of them. They were fantastic. They were so good, they got me here. They got me a wristband. They brought me to my knees. And here's the problem. And I've read this many times. They were my moral and philosophical convictions. If they're going to be my moral and philosophical convictions, they're never going to work. They have to be somebody else's moral and philosophical convictions. And so we tried to do better. Did anybody try to do better? Anybody start the new job and say, I'm not going to piss everybody off by 10 o'clock, right? And or maybe 9:30, let's be optimistic. And it just couldn't, I couldn't do it. I couldn't live up to them. I didn't have the power. Now this is right out of the scriptures. The scriptures tell us that we don't have the power to change our sinful nature on our own. We never do, but we get it from God. And it says, I couldn't reduce my self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on my own power. I had to have God's help. Now this ties into a very powerful few sentences in Bill's story. Is it okay if we look at those? Page 14. And Bill's taken the steps and he writes that we had to establish and maintain a new order of things, right? We couldn't live the same way. And he talks about how he took the steps. And then he says, simple. It's simple. But it's not easy. There's always a price. There's no free lunch. And it means a destruction of self-centeredness. I have to destroy, have my self-centeredness destroyed. And how do you do it? It's very simple. I turn in all things to the Father of light who presides over us all. So I destroy my self-centeredness by turning to God. Where's Gary? It's the vertical, right, buddy? I have to go to God all the time to destroy my self-centeredness. So getting back to page 62, I have to have God's help. Now, if you don't realize that, then you're in trouble. Now, I've met people who don't realize that. You know why? They say, I don't want to hear about God. Well, if they don't want to hear about God, they still don't understand page 62. They don't understand that they can't fix this anymore. I've always wondered why people don't want to hear about God. I think it's because we don't want to face the fact that we're accountable. We don't want to be accountable to anybody else but ourselves. And alcoholics have a gift. I don't know about you, but I have this gift. I can rationalize anything. I can take any situation and rationalize it and make it look reasonable. And my behavior was always reasonable. Yeah, that was really sick. It says, I had to have God's help. So now we're at the key point. We're going to say, how do I get God's help? How and why of it? How and why do I get God's help? First of all, so this is the first thing. I had to quit playing God. Now you might read this and say, we had to quit playing God. So you're reading it and you say, well, gee, these people wrote this book. They need to quit playing God, right? Their lives were a mess. But no, I have to quit playing God. And if we don't internalize this, we miss the whole power of the book. Quit playing God. Now, I did that a lot. I may have even done it this morning. We do it unconsciously. And when I play God, that is a form of insanity. Isn't it? I still remember Spring Grove Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland. They had asylums where they would lock up Jesus's and Moses's, and these people believe that they're Jesus, and they lock them up. They're, you know, if they looked at our minds, we should have been locked up a lot, because we were playing God and had the most insane thinking, and we believed it. So I have to quit playing God. Now, I don't know how to do that, right? But that's what I have to do. And then it tells me why. The how is I have to quit playing God. The why is it didn't work. Now, for a long time, my wife says I'm very unconscious. I don't notice things. She says I don't pay attention to things. She pays attention to everything. So we're a good pair. And it didn't occur to me that it didn't work because I wasn't God. Does that sound silly? But it's true. And I think a lot of you understood that. We didn't realize I can't play God because I'm not God. It's never going to work. So then we know the how and why of it. So now we're going to make a decision. Now, a decision means that you're going to make a decision to take an action. Now, did anybody decide to come here today? Yeah, you're all here. Now, I think there were some people who decided last night that they were going to come here. But then they got up and they didn't come here. They got another idea. They didn't follow through in the decision. If I don't follow through in the decision doesn't mean anything. And it says, what am I going to decide? It's very simple. That hereafter in the drama of life. Now, where is life's drama? In my head. Remember, it's a script. I created drama. And in this drama, I'm not going to be God anymore. And it says God's going to be my director. Is that a good idea? Now, drama, I wrote here, the definition is an exciting, emotional, or unexpected series of events and circumstances. And God's going to be my director. That's the deal. He's the principal. That's like an insurance term. They set the policies. You sell the policy. You don't write the policies. You sell the policies. He is the father, we are his children. I like that for me. I like God's dad. Why? Because fathers love their children unconditionally, right? And we say our father at the end of every meeting. We're all God's kids. And I'm his child. And notice his children is capital H. And then here's the point. All of us are God's children. Now that relates to step four, because I spent my whole life criticizing God's children. In fact, trying to execute a few of them in my head. Anybody do that? There were a few people in my lifetime that really needed to be executed. But she's laughing because they relate. And it's true. Anybody sit in their chair and want to execute somebody? If you have it, you have it, drag it off. you need to go drink some more. And it's crazy, and we're laughing about it, but we're all God's children. And when we understand that, that helps with our fourth step, right? Because it says when we look at the people we're angry at, we realize that they were perhaps spiritually ill, just like me. We're all God's kids. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept, thing in our mind is the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we pass to freedom. Now, I've passed out the bridge of arch to freedom many times here. The keystone is the stone at the apex of this masonry arch. It's the final piece, and it locks all the stones in place. So if you build an arch to freedom and you stop allowing God to direct your life, your arch is going to collapse. So that's what happens to us every day when we stop playing God. When we're not playing God, our arch collapses and we're in the bondage of self. So I have to keep that keystone at the top of the arch all the time, and it passes to freedom. I want to be free of the bondage of self. I don't have to live like I did before. And that's a powerful paragraph. And that's the idea that starts us on our way. We have to completely surrender to that idea. We talk about surrender a lot. There are a couple forms of surrender for me in my alcoholism. alcohol surrendered me. Anybody else? I didn't wake up one day and say, I'm going to lay the gun down. It's been a bad day. I'm going to lay it down. I was surrendered. I was surrounded. And it was a voluntary act. I mean, it was just done. It happened to me. And I was surrendered by managing my life. And now I have to surrender to the idea that God's going to be my director of my whole life, all of my life, everything. Now, anybody like that paragraph? It's good stuff. Now we're going to read the third step promises. You never had these read at any meeting, did you? Have you ever heard of the third step promises before? Very rarely. Here's the third step promises. When I sincerely take this position that God's going to be my director, he's the principal, he's the father, then remarkable things are going to follow. So just by making this decision, remember, for an alcoholic to really decide to do this is a major change. It's a major change in the way we've lived our whole lives just to be able to see this. And guess what happens? I have a new employer. Now, I wrote, not me. I don't work for me anymore. I have fired myself. And so you're actually making a decision here to fire yourself as the manager of your life. Now, why would you want to fire yourself as the manager of your life? Because you got the scorecard in the mail, and it said the world, 18 million, Michael, zero, maybe 20 million. And it suggests that you fire the manager. Now, here's the problem. If I don't fire me, nothing's going to change. And I have to fire myself all the time. And I work for God. I don't work for anybody else but God. Remember, we're supposed to be of service to God and others. That's our purpose. Anybody else think that's a good idea? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're working for God all day long, your days are going to be good. Now, you have a contract. This is a contract. It's a contract that God, you are now my employer. I work for you now. Now, here's what I get out of that. I get an all-powerful employer who will provide what I need. It doesn't say what I want, what I need, and what I need spiritually. If I do two things, my job is to stay close to God and do his work well. So I have a contract with God. I work for him. He's in charge. He's the manager. What do I get out of it? I get everything I need. And all I have to do is stay close to him and perform his work well. Now, they left something out of this paragraph, which I'm going to put in the next time we rewrite the big book. It says, well, I'm working on it. It says, we give God worry. I give God worry. Think about that. I sign a contract. If I worry, I'm doing God's job. Now, that's so important to me because I worried my whole life about everything. But fear is just when I'm running the world. Now, I'm working for God now and I don't work for me anymore, I don't have to worry about anything. Doesn't mean I don't have responsibilities. That's different than worry. And how do I stay close to God and do his work well? Isn't that a good question? I work the steps. Steps 4 through 9, and then live in 10, 11, and 12. And so if you do those steps, you're going to stay close to him, you're going to perform his work well, and you're going to have these promises that are read on page 83. Now, if I'm established on this footing, this is the footing that I've established by building, that God's going to be my employer, I work for him, I have this contract, then here's what happens. I become less interested in me, my little plans and designs. Why would I want to do that? Because I know being interested in me and my plans and my designs is not allowing God to be my employer. And I'm not doing his work well, then I'm working for me. And it says, more and more we became interested in seeing what I could contribute to life. What can I give to life? Remember on page 86, it says, at night when we retire, we ask ourselves, were we selfish, dishonest, resentful, afraid, right? It says, what could we have done differently? Were we kind and loving to all? How's that for a question? And we're supposed to ask ourselves that all the time. And then it says, as I felt new power flow in, I enjoy peace of mind, serenity, and I discover I can face life successfully, and I become conscious of his presence. I begin to lose my fear of today, tomorrow, after I am reborn. Now look at those promises. As soon as I do this, I sign the contract, I give it to God, I work for him, I'm going to stay close to him, do his work well, I give him worry, and then I feel a new power. Anybody relate to this? And I enjoy peace of mind. Isn't that all I really wanted my whole life? And so peace of mind, I can face life successfully. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that your life's going to be successful. It means that I can face life successfully. I have a power so I can react to life in a positive way. And that happened to me when Curtis died. I was able to face the fact that my son died successfully. What that meant for me was I had ability to face that and make something positive out of it. It wasn't all about me. I was able to help others. I was able to understand it and deal with it in a positive way. And then you become conscious of his presence. Now, the whole point of AA is to have a spiritual awakening, right? That means you're conscious of God's presence. Now, just by making the third step decision, I'm aware of his presence. Very powerful. Anybody relate to that? We're going to open up soon. I want people to talk about these promises and how these things happen. Why? I'm conscious that there's something besides me in my life. And then it says, I become conscious and I begin to lose my fear of today, tomorrow, hereafter. Begin to lose it. Now, to me, that's the greatest gift because I lived in fear all the time, constant. In fact, I didn't even know it. I was swimming in it. I wrote a thought on fear, the water I swam in. I mean, if you're afraid all the time, you don't really know that you're afraid now. You're just afraid all the time. I lived my whole life like that. And I can face life successfully. I'm conscious and I begin to lose and I'm reborn in my mind. Now, we talk about that a lot. It's in the scriptures. We get reborn in our mind. And how am I reborn in my mind? God's going to be my director now. I work for him. My only job is to stay close to him and do his work well. And if that's how I've been reborn in my mind, then my decision each day is, am I going to be obedient to God or not? It's not that complicated. Who am I going to be obedient to today? And for people who've been around a while, it becomes automatic. And how do you know when you're not being obedient to God? You're angry, you're judging, you're afraid, you're pissed off, you're pissing people off, you're making bad decisions, you don't feel good. And so it says now we're at step three, now you're ready to say the prayer. And so the prayer, as many of us said to our makers, we understood him, and we'll go through the prayer next week. I'm just going to read it today and we'll open it up. God, I offer myself to thee. Oh, I said this once time. Somebody quoted me. I read this prayer, and some guy I was working with, he didn't like the prayer. He didn't like the way the words were. He didn't like the words. I said, you're dying. You're dying of alcoholism, and you don't like the thee. Does that make sense? Does that sound like alcoholism? We judge. We don't like the thee. I said, change your mind. I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as he wilt. Now that's a big deal. I want him to be in charge of my life, all of it. Relieve me of the bondage of self. Relieve me of this, that I may better do thy will. So everything in AA is to be of service. Take away my difficulties, which is my character defects. And my difficulties is anything I see in my mind is a difficulty. Anything that I see as being a problem, take it away. And victory over them will bear witness. So we're going to be a testimony to those I would help of your power, your love, and your way of life. May I do thy will always. And there's no amen here. And they say, people say the reason there's no amen here and there's an amen at the end of step seven is because you do the next four steps with God. And then you say the amen. And now here's what they do in the big book. They're subtle. They tell you all this stuff. We heard the selfishness is our problem, the how and why of it, the promises, the prayer. And then they put this line in here, son of a bitch. It says, we thought well before doing this. They're giving you a warning. Making sure you're ready. Are you ready? And are you going to give him everything? At last, abandon ourselves unto him. The terms of surrender in AA are unconditional surrender. Unconditional. It's like MacArthur on the ship. I've told that story a million times. I like it. The Japanese had surrendered, right? And they were on that ship. I used to see films of it when I was a little kid. And the Japanese have all their top hats on, you know, and they're all lined up. And we have the aircraft carrier, and there's MacArthur with his pipe and the patch and all that. And they have the surrender agreement, and he hands it to the Japanese guy. And the Japanese guy takes his glasses out. And MacArthur says, you don't need to read this. This is unconditional surrender. Sign it. And that's what they're telling us here. It has to be unconditional, because if there are any conditions on my surrender to God, then those are the areas I'm still going to manage. And then eventually I'll separate from God. So I want to close there. We'll go over, left some time for people to share. These are powerful, powerful paragraphs. They've changed my life. I think they've changed the world, these four paragraphs. And so I'm interested in what people have to say. And then tomorrow night we're going to be looking at two wives. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.